The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept.
Yes. You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I don't know. I probably shouldn't have done it, but I just got frustrated. I was talking with somebody yesterday. They were trying to act like they were very sophisticated, that they were cosmopolitan, they had an understanding and a feel for the arts. They did not even know any paintings at all by Mozart. And I asked them that. I said, can you name any of Mozart's paintings? Never mind. Good to have you with me here. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Here is the program, The Doctor Is In. I would like to invite you to be in, too, if you call. Well, you could be in by listening, but if you want to call, we can inter ear. 877-573-7825. You know, the memory psychologists will tell you that bits of three are the easiest to remember. So you go 877-573, and then you go 4-7825. So a lot of you have probably gone 782. What was that last digit? The easier way to remember the number is 877-57-EQUAL. That's good enough. Now, because there's just three bits of information, that's how you do it. Why would you want to call? That's up to you. Your discretion, your opinion, your motivation. Maybe it's a kid problem. Maybe it's a grown-up problem. Maybe it's a marriage struggle. Maybe it's something that you say, look, I got to deal with this, and I'm not dealing with it well. And I need somebody to tell me I'm not dealing with it well, which I'm capable of doing that. You know that. I'm capable of doing that. Just got a text here. I get text here. It says, you are so funny. Well, I tried. I just hate it when people try, they try to sound important. When they use big words to make themselves sound perspicacious, I just don't like that. So, anything. Now, we also take two comments. People will do that. The rule is, it's great to have you at the top of the program, and that slightly raises your chances that you will get on quicker. But, doesn't mean if you call later, you won't get on. I mean, if you call really later. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. Here's a scenario. Picture this scenario. Now, this may not fit you at all, but let's just extrapolate it to other people. You're attending a birthday party at your mother-in-law's house. Now, you both have had a fragile relationship from the time you were engaged to her son, you sensed that she felt he just could have done a whole lot better. You meander toward the kitchen, you want to get something to drink, and you overhear her talking to her daughter about you. And it's not an earful of your attributes. So you stay out of sight. You stop heading into the kitchen. Yeah, I know it's sneaky, but the temptation is overwhelmed, and you get an earful. And with each critique, your temperature goes up about 3 degrees. Now, you want to storm in, vent some of that heat. But nevertheless, you retreat to the family room. You're shocked. You're seething. You get your husband. You make it real clear. You want to leave now, if not sooner. Your party mood is squashed, as pretty much is your mood for the next several days. In the driveway, your husband ventures, a delicate, perplexed, what happened in there? then he gets the earful. You connect his mother to your distress. She was merciless, even for her. Your pain comes from her rant. Well, now that's not exactly true. It is true that if she didn't rant, or at least if you didn't hear it, you probably would have left the party later, emotionally settled, other than the fact that your mother-in-law just kind of irritates you. But other than that, but you're upset now. You're really upset. Why? A big reason is what you're telling yourself about her rant. If I were to ask you, why are you upset? You should have heard what I heard. She has no right. You're not upset because of her rant. That's a small part of it. The main part of it is how you are interpreting her rant. For example, she has no right to talk about me like that, behind my back, no less. She should take a good look at herself. She's not the easiest person to get along with. After all I've done to try to get along with her, this is how I get paid back? What if my husband finds some way to excuse his mother? And what if he says I'm overreacting? Now, any of these can give you real problems. So let's take a look at them. How about the old, she has no right to berate me behind my back? Now, at one level, that's true. She did breach some elementary rules of fair play. At another level, saying she shouldn't runs you headlong into reality. Yes, she shouldn't. Yes, she did. Anybody at any time can say anything about you, whether you deserve it or not. So demanding that she shouldn't have said these things is going to frustrate you. There's no question. Because you can't stop what she's going to say. Well, how do I stop it from hurting me? Well, part of it is you recognize that the power to hurt you comes from you. It doesn't come from her. You're not a helpless victim. She says what she says, and you don't automatically have to feel terrible. Yeah, you might not like it, obviously. But you want to keep the power of it down. How about the old, she ought to take a look at herself. She's not the easiest person to get along with. Well, if she did look at herself, she probably would be easier to get along with. But are you waiting for something to happen that's probably never going to happen? Here's a rule of personality. The people most critical of others are least critical of themselves. I don't know. I read somewhere about taking a beam out of one's own eye before removing a speck from another's. How about this one? After all I've done to reach out to her, this is how I get paid back. Your reaching out for her is your reward. She may not reach out back. You did what was good and right. You did what you were called to do as a faithful Christian. That's what you're supposed to do. If she doesn't operate according to those principles, or if she declares herself a faithful Christian but ignores those principles, you don't necessarily treat her well, or at least civilly, only because she treats you civilly. It's like our Lord said that. You don't even tax collectors do that. The fact that she doesn't act kindly in return does nothing to negate your kindness. Just shows she's not guided by the same principles. Your conduct toward her is because of your character, even if she doesn't appreciate it. Now, the last one. What if my husband finds some way to excuse his mother and says that I am overreacting? You already know your mother-in-law doesn't think the world of you. Hearing it up close and personal, 10 feet away, only confirms it further. You'd like to think that your husband would understand you in this whole scenario. Well, the possibility that he won't is not a certainty. You worry that he'll fault you and pardon her. You know that for sure? He may have done so at times in the past. Nevertheless, this particular incident is pretty harsh. So, as he sees your level of stress and his mother's level of tolerance, he could be moved to your defense. He may try to reduce the overall family fallout, but he'll probably align with you. Exactly how, who knows? But don't add a what if he won't to all the other thoughts messing you up. And don't send off an email. Don't set off an email 12 seconds after walking into your door. Ask yourself one thing. Which of my thoughts are most fueling my anger? That's what you got to do. You got to find them. You got to identify them. And you got to challenge them. Because the reality is she did what she did. You can't do anything about it. Yeah, but just the idea that I heard how she thinks. You know, I kind of lived an illusion that I didn't know how she thinks. Well, you probably did, and this only just solidified it. So you're going to have to probably resolve to get along with her somewhat better, if you can, knowing what you know. Watch out for those thoughts. You know what Albert Ellis called the thoughts that really create all kinds of distress for you as you interpret situations? Stinking thinking. I don't want to do any of that, do I? I'm not insecure. Am I? Do you think I'm insecure? I hope you don't think that. I'm Dr. Ray.
We don't have a lot of time on this earth. We weren't meant to spend it this way.
The doctor is in.
What can I say? I'm thrilled.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I never cease to wonder at is that this Jesus, Son of God, came born in a stable, escapes from a king. And his whole life he's kind of hunted down by the jealousy and the ambition of the scribes and Pharisees and the king. And he speaks and heals to the people. He raises the dead and exorcises demons. Nobody's grateful. He does all that. He did. He continues to do all of that. And we still don't understand how much he loves us. Isn't that odd?
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
a lot of very poignant questions up there. Excuse me, and heartfelt questions, too. So please don't go away. I'm going to get to you. I promise you that. Rich from Bloomington, Illinois. How are you, Rich?
Hey, I'm good, Doc. How are you doing today?
Okay, buddy. Your question.
Yes, sir. I had to write this down just to make sure that you'd understand it. So.
Oh, that's cold. That's cold. Just to make sure I'd understand it. Rich, I am among the elite at understanding. You could have given me the most disjointed, erratic sentence. And I would have said, Rich, are you trying to say? And then you would have said, that's it, Dr. Ray. Thank you.
We'll see. No, okay. I'm sure that's true. And in my experience, I want to preface this by saying, you know, a lot of the discipline cues that my wife and I have taken over the years have come from your books and your radio shows. So thank you for that, first of all.
I'm raising your kids.
Well, there you go. Basically, well, I mean, sure. Kind of what I want to go with this time is just, you know, as we got our seven kids and we're kind of looking at their behavior, generally speaking, short-term discipline, going, I'd say, fairly well. My wife and I surely are not saints or anything like that. We're trying.
Your wife is Shirley?
Well, sorry, she definitely is a saint, and she's not Shirley, so that's
a good thing. Okay, got it.
And again, short-term discipline, going pretty well. What I'm kind of getting concerned about is character, like long-term character formation as opposed to short-term discipline. You know, just watching our kids at the playground, like bullying other kids, or just being really inconsiderate to other people, and really not seeing a problem with any of that. You know,
That's happening? Kinda,
yeah, for sure, yeah. So, kind of looking for some.
I'm going to give you some good news. I'm going to give you some good news, Rich. You're going to get a few of them because of the way their temperament is. That are going to have good long-term character just because. And the fact that they live in your home with a loving dad and mom, they're going to absorb it. And so you played the numbers game. All right, you got seven kids. Hey, you got a couple of them. Just they're going to do it anyway. All right, so let's write those off. Let's write those off. Then the second thing you said was, well, I'm confident in our short-term discipline, but how do I guarantee long-term virtue, character, habits, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, yeah.
That's how you do it. It is short-term in a loving home. That raises the probability, doesn't raise the guarantee, my friend. Sad, sorry. But it raises the probability that those kids will absorb those short-term lessons. If you say, yeah, but I look at them on the playground, my gosh, the stuff they're doing, there's no way. They know we wouldn't allow that. They know we're not trying to teach them anything like that. Where's that stuff coming from? Well, it's coming from their immature, self-centered, conscienceless, for the most part, little kids. That's what they are. And that's why you and your wife are doing what you're doing. I'm here, you know, okay, there's two lines of thinking here that I'm hearing from you in between what you said. And just to confirm, you didn't even have to write this down. I am expressing it for you.
True.
First of all, to say, well, I don't know if the short-term discipline and our lessons and our love, in the short term, is going to transform character. It's going to build upon a solid character. Now, part of that, you're a little bit a victim, maybe, of the current psychological correctness, which says discipline is short-term, discipline is control, discipline is autocratic and authoritative. And if you truly want to inculcate a child with virtue, discipline is not necessarily going to do it. You have to make them internally absorb it. That is a dominant mindset out there. And I'll tell you, Rich, I've seen it from a lot of very Catholic people, a lot of very Christian people. they'll say, oh, yeah, okay, Dr. E, you send him to a corner. But that isn't going to make him internalize nice behavior.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of answers to that. Go ahead, Rich.
Can I just say something real quick? Because I want to say, as somebody who, again, who's read, you know, I'd say several of your books, you know, not all of them. Sorry, I'll get around to that one.
You got gaps. You got gaps. Admit it.
But, you know, like, I feel like I've seen the good fruit of the short-term discipline, the behavior, as opposed to the internalization. Like, I've seen the benefit of that.
Internalization takes years, Rich.
Yeah, that's where I'm panning back.
It takes years.
Kind of looking at the picture.
Okay. For heaven's sakes. I'm real different now than I was when I was 9, you know? My wife says I have the maturity level of an 11-year-old, which is pretty high for husbands. That takes years. See, what you're saying is, gee, I want them to internalize this when they're 9, or 12, or 15, or 17.
Sure.
How old are you?
I'm 39, as a matter of fact.
You go to confession, do you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
You say the same sins, do you?
I mean, yeah, certainly.
What's wrong with you? Yeah. You're 39 years old. Don't you have character by now? See?
Yeah.
It just takes time, Rich. And the character formation is not that we won't sin, not that your kids won't act foolishly and sinfully. It's that over time, they will repent and they will see that this stuff is not a good way to live. Mm-hmm. You're creating for yourself a worry that shouldn't be there. Instead of having the confidence of you got a loving marriage, a loving home, and parents who are really trying to instill good upbringing in these kids, and you're saying to yourself, yeah, but what if they don't absorb it? Mm. Wow, that's not a worry I ever thought about when I was raising my kids. My worry was I'm going to do what I got to do as best I can do it.
Yeah, fair enough, sir.
I'm glad you didn't write that sentence down because I would have had to try to understand it. Hey, Rich, I thank you. By the way, you know, I have a couple more kids. If you have a couple more kids, like I had to go up to 10 to get some absorbing my parenting. Get a couple more kids, and by law of averages, man, you're going to get some.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I'll talk to you. All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, Teresa, I got to tell you, this is now a phenomenon, and it ain't going to let up. It is disgusting. I am so distressed by it. I have seen so many grandparents yanked into this by their 30, 35-year-old young adults who are much more panic-stricken than the older people. There's my rant. Go ahead, Teresa.
Yeah, Father Ray,
Father Ray, thank you. You just ordained me in close to 30 seconds. Didn't want to have to go through 9 years of education for that.
I have a very intelligent, she's got a doctorate degree, very intelligent, very successful daughter who I watched her kids weekly, been doing it, picking them up from school weekly from, you know, all year long. And in a conversation, I said that, you know, I decided that I wasn't going to take this inoculation. And
you've been allowed to watch them up to this point?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Without a vaccine?
Exactly.
So what changed?
And then, God wish I knew. I really wish I knew. But she said, get out. You are no longer, you're not allowed to even say that you love my children or me because choose to not take this and protect us.
Wow.
And I mean, just completely. And she has never been like this. But I mean, it was so abrupt and so awful. And she called me stupid and
Stay there. Stay there, dear. This is Dr. Reed. Boy, hearing that stuff. And I'll tell you, poor Teresa, she's not alone. I open up these lines. I know there's a bunch of you grandparents going to call me and say, hey, I got to follow my young kids' rules now regarding COVID totally. We can't even have a difference of opinion based upon differing science.
You and I must care enough for our brother, our families, our city, our nation, and our world. to pray for the salvation of souls.
Step away from the turmoil of the day. Spend time with Mother Angelica and the Lord. In A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica, you'll find lessons that touch every aspect of our relationship with God and our neighbor. Filled with Mother's trademark wisdom and love, these meditations and prayers will help you turn to Jesus in your everyday life and embrace the power of healing, joy, forgiveness, Our Lady, and so much more. Discover how spending more time with Christ can change the world around you. A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica, the latest release from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Why does the Catholic Church value virginity? At the heart and center of all Christian life is Christ the Lord. The Catechism tells us that our bond with Christ takes precedence over all bonds, familial or social. From the Church's very beginning, there have been men and women who have forsaken marriage to follow the Lamb wherever He leads them. Christ Himself has invited certain persons to follow Him in this way of life for which He remains the model. Virginity for the sake of the kingdom is an unfolding of baptismal grace, a powerful sign of the supremacy of a person's bond with Christ. It is also a sign that this bond recalls that marriage is a reality of this present age, which is passing away. St. John Chrysostom puts it well, "The most excellent good is something even better than what is admitted to be good." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You know, in college, if I had a dollar for every girl that found me unappealing, they probably would find me appealing. Talking to Teresa from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Poor thing. She just... Wait, I can't say thing. Oh, jeez, I slipped so much. Poor person. Poor... I can't say grandma either. That's not allowed. Well, at least if I was in Congress, I couldn't say it. I'll just say poor Teresa, I guess. Teresa, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. All of a sudden, her daughter turned on her. Up to this point, she's been allowed to have contact with her grandchildren throughout the whole COVID thing. And now, just out of nowhere, by the way, what's your daughter's PhD in?
Law. She's a law degree.
So out of nowhere, according to Teresa anyway, you sure you didn't say something to set her off?
We were discussing... my elderly mother taking the vaccination, and I had said that I determined that I wasn't going to do that. And the minute I said I wouldn't do that, she said, get out. Wow. Leave. And she said that, you know, so she then sent me an email. And I sent her an email back explaining, you know, my reasoning. And she basically said, don't call me.
Wow.
You're not allowed to be near my children because, and don't ever say that you love them because it's not true. You're fooling yourself.
What kind of, can you anticipate what nerve you stepped on to get that kind of reaction?
I have no idea. It blindsided me. I was like, you could have knocked me over with a feather, but
have you had an edgy relationship with her throughout the years?
We definitely do not see eye to eye on political things.
Okay, now she's probably decided that that's enough. I've had it, Mom. I put up with you this long. That's enough. I think that's what happened. Teresa, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to tell you. It's very sad. Does your daughter have any religion at all?
Yeah, she does. She goes to church.
Well, I I can't give you any magic. I guess you have to, what I would do if I were in your shoes,
sadly, tragically, I would respect her wishes.
I know she's telling my grandkids that I don't love them.
That's so cruel. That is so cruel. How old are your grandkids?
6 and 9.
And you've been part of their lives up to this point.
Every day.
I can only hope that your daughter deals with practicalities and says, I really need mom helping me out here again. Does she work out of the home?
No, she has an office.
So she's at home, so she doesn't really need you to help her out.
No.
Okay.
But I was picking the kids up once a week from school, and they would end up, you know, having dinner with us, and, you know, she would come.
I'm just saddened, my dear, by the hostility and the fractiousness of families now because of all this. I just got a text while we were talking from a politician, a friend of mine. Listen to this. And he showed me the email. Canton City, which is where I live, just has now decided to pull all of Dr. Seuss's books.
I know.
I guess he's a racist. I don't, Dr. Seuss. Yeah, so you see, when you get this kind of governing attitude all over the place, I'm sure your daughter has just decided, Mom, this would be my guess. We're just too different, Mom. We just think too differently. And this last one was the one that broke it, Mom. When you have an option to do what's right, as I see it, and you don't, then you've proved to me you don't love me, you don't love my kids, you don't care, you're selfish. Now, am I wrong in that interpretation?
No, I think you're spot on.
So what you do, dear, is you respect her wishes, and you hope and pray that she softens, and that at some point down the road, when we hit herd immunity, and it's not so devastating now that you have to get a vaccine if you choose not to, then hopefully it'll repair for you. I'm so sorry. And the irony is, Teresa, they've done surveys. The people most unsettled by COVID is under age 35.
That does not surprise me, because my peers, many of my peers believe like I do.
God bless you, dear. I'm so sorry to hear this. God bless you.
Well, thanks. All right, honey. Dr. Ray.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we got some folks that want to comment on Rich's call, but I do want to get to Ashley here. She has a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and she is experiencing what many people are reporting, which is TV shows pretty much relentlessly will portray transgender and same-sex relationships very much throughout their plot lines, and she has a 3- and a 5-year-old. Hi, Ashley. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
If you don't want to have to explain all this to your kids, you know what you have to do.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, not make sure that they're not around and make sure I'm not watching these TV shows.
Yes.
And, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, I guess it doesn't just stop there. You know, I know that they're going to, especially living in Columbus, you know, we've been at the park and seen, you know, gay couples and, you know, and I can tell in her face, like, she can sense that it's not a normal relationship or behavior. But I just know that those questions, especially given, you know, the political stuff going on right now, that it's only...
Well, you could get very much in trouble for not saying it's not a normal behavior, by the way. You know that.
I'm sure. And, you know, I'll hold true to my Catholic convictions when saying that.
You're going to be faced with, when your children ask questions, you answer them as you can in your beliefs through the church and explain to them how you believe God designed things. And then not everybody believes that. Not everybody follows that. That's the way you have to do it, because they're going to experience, especially if they go to school, they're going to experience this at a very young age, an age that they may not be able to digest it, may not be able to incorporate it into their view of the way they see things. So as a mom, you're going to have to explain it. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to overwhelm your children and they're going to be all kind of confusion. It just simply means you're going to have to be aware of what they might be confused about so that you can give them your motherhood and religious perspective.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master. And the Master is Jesus.
Add some cool. I still can't get over this. What is the rationale? You know, I'm a shrink, and I really struggle. I can get somebody in my office that has self-destructive behavior or behavior that is emotionally making them incredibly unsettled. I can understand that. What I can't understand is a tsunami of cultural ideas, like getting rid of Dr. Seuss, because somehow he... G.K. Chesterton said, and I know I interrupted my own sentence, which is not articulate and stuff. When people stop believing in God, the danger is not that they believe in nothing. The danger is they believe in anything. And if you've noticed, as our culture drifts further and further and rejects God, we've decided to come up with our own morals. And so now certain things are totally morally unacceptable, completely so. So they just arise from the cultural mindset, driven by media, driven by education, driven by the people on high who think they know best how everyone should live, and these are the ways you have to look at life and people and morals. That's it. The new morals, they're all over the place. Let's go to Donna. She's calling about her pa. Oh, no, that's That's Donna from PA, Pennsylvania. Okay, Pennsylvania. I just thought it was Donna's pa. She wants to elaborate on what I had said to Rich, who was saying, hey, I can short-term teach these kids, but does that mean they're going to absorb this long-term? And Donna says she wants to elaborate, which implies that I did not close this up sufficiently. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
You know that song I'm doing good, honey. That song by, blanking on him again.
Oh, Donna.
Yes. Is that Richie Valens? Richie Valens? Yeah, okay.
I think so.
And then there was Donna, the prima donna.
Uh-huh.
I forget
and
who
then there was Donna, Bobana, Banana, Fana. Remember that?
Oh, gee.
I'm dating myself now.
Yes, you are. So you have something to help me out there with Rich.
Well, I just want to put my two cents in. I feel like that we're not raising children. We're raising adults to prepare them for the real world. And Rich had mentioned something about the interaction that they have out on the playground or the park or whatever, and we're calling names, or he said bullying, but I don't really like to say bullying. I think kids are kids. They call each other names. They tease. That's what they do. And I'll tell you what, I went to Catholic school, grade school. I went to Catholic school all my life, okay? In grade school, the boys would be in the schoolyard saying, hey, four eyes, and I'd be like, and I didn't go home crying, oh, they called me a name. I would say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me, or call them farty pants or whatever. That's what you do. That's what kids do. And I think when the kids go home, and I think parents coddle their children too much. I mean, my mom, we were like desensitized from that in a sense, I want to say. You know, my mom would be like, well, you know, don't let it bother you. And it really didn't. I mean, I was not affected by it. And I know it's a different
world. Oh, come on, Donna, you weren't too affected by it. You called some shrink on a talk show. That's messing up your life.
Well, I was just trying to help Rich with his problem. And I think that's what the problem in the world is. Everybody is offended. I am confident in myself. I have God in my heart. I know who I am. And somebody in my life, you could call me names all you want. I am not offended. Why would I be offended? Who cares? I know who I am. I love myself. You're the one that has the problem. You're the one that's not happy with yourself. And you're the one that has the problems. You know?
How did you know that? How did you know I did? I never said anything about problems. That really hurts. I'm offended. Donna, you're uttering heresy. You are uttering cultural heresy by saying that bullying is not a problem, by saying you need to be a little thicker skinned. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, you know as well as I do, the culture's going to look at you and say, oh, this is an unfeeling woman here, correct?
Maybe.
Well, but here's where I think you're correct, and I see this. Let's draw a parallel to Teresa's call. Did you hear Teresa's call, the grandmother whose daughter said, no way, you don't get the vaccine, don't tell me you love me, don't tell me you love my kids, get out of my life. Did you hear that call?
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, that young person was, I don't know, probably in her 30s, because she had young kids, 9 and 6 or something. You're tapping into what we have called snowflakes, right? The young people are just so easily offended, so easily shook up, so easily unsettled. And here was a call where the young person said, don't even come into my life if you're going to do this. No matter if the virus disappears or not, if you don't get that vaccine when I think you should get that vaccine, don't even come near me. So you're right. It was a young person doing that. The older person wasn't. So I see it. I see that, in fact, and it's been hard-pressed by psychologists, that we're all so emotionally fragile, that we all just so easily can get upset and mistreated in our minds. You're right. You're right. Now, that's not, you know, I'm not saying there isn't real bullying, because there is, and I'm not saying kids aren't getting nastier, because I think they are. I think they're getting nastier in a lot of ways. But I think you're right. I think it would do us all well to have a bit thicker skin. You're right. And I'm trying not to be offended by what you said. I am trying. I'm going to have to take a break to calm myself down, because you just hurt me so badly.
So she was bullying her mom, more or less. But
yeah, oh yeah. I would
but
think.
But I just want to say one more thing, though. Okay. I was raised, you know, old school, and I raised my child old school, and my son is a millennial, and he is fine, and he's not caught up with all that. He is a great person. He has great, he's kind, he has a great heart, he is, you know, and I think that, you know, I would like to think that I did a good job, but you never know. I mean,
I'm going to correct you. You didn't raise your son old school. You raised your son good school. The idea that someone like you even has been tricked into saying old school, like somehow that's, we're past that now, Donna.
I know.
You're a throwback. See, that's not fair, because the wisdom of the people who came before us, we can trivialize it. You're old school. Wait a minute. Maybe it was right school. Good girl. Thanks, Donna.
Thank you, Dr.
All right, bye. Why can I not think of, he sang, oh gosh, this is happening to me a lot. I cannot remember the names of people. I'll think of it during the break. This is Dr. Ray.
Why don't you gentlemen relax?
What was that all about?
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Dion DiMucci. I couldn't think of that. Andrew told me. This is not good. Every Wednesday night, I go play trivia with my wife and godson. And when you play trivia, you got to have recall. And how many times on one of the subjects I'll say, I had that in college. I remember that. I read about that. And then my godson will say, well, which is it? I go, I forget. Not a good thing to have when you're playing trivia. Linda. Linda, I'm sorry. I was going to identify your city, but I don't know if I can say Mansfield. Personsfield? I don't know. Can you say that?
That's okay. I can't remember your name. You know, I just can't hold on to names anymore.
I like that. Roy Ginaldi.
Okay, I know there's not much time, and I got lots of issues. I wish I could do a podcast with you. But the gentleman who called, I'm 70. Oldest is 41. The younger one's turning 38 in a couple days. And if he thinks that he doesn't have an influence that goes deep enough, and it sounds like he and his wife are on the same page, and without you asking him the question, I just think that his demeanor and what he had to say suggests to me, anyway, as a listener, that he and his wife are connected about being on the same page.
Yeah, I'd say that.
I raised my kids as a single mom from the time they were in second grade and just starting kindergarten. And if he thinks he's got a tough job, ain't nothing like being a single parent with the other parent in another state and then traveling the world for almost 20 years of their career, spending 3 months in Russia, 3 months in South Africa, 3 months in Australia, etc. And here's my beef and my request to you. The couple times one of my youngsters, and I've called in about my daughter a couple times, so you probably will go, oh, God, put her on the list. Do not pick up her calls anymore. my request is, I've seen you with Father Larry on EWTN, and I don't know if you ever do anything with Father John Ricardo.
I have.
But they have strong voices in the church, and Father Larry has a lot of influence on males in the church, be they priests or just married men who go to his conferences, his male conferences. And Father John Ricardo talks about his family's strong connections to family and how his dad gave that.
My dear, I'm going to have to hurry along because you're going to get cuffed by the end of the show. Okay.
Okay. Please pass the message along that what needs to be done when people get an annulment. And I didn't apply for it. My ex did. He's the one who was messing around with other tons of other women and then asks for the annulment and gets it. There needs to be something in the annulment and also when couples marry that forever, as long as children are alive, whether the parents are together or not, there's co-parenting. And they need to support the values.
Linda. Of course, all that you say is true. But to just say it, which I have said many times in the past, co-parent, you have to parent fair, you have to parent square, you have to be on the same page, you have to be concerned about the well-being of those kids, as I'm sure you're speaking from your own experience. Right. But
they have to sign something. The couples need to sign something.
Well,
and
again,
be told it means something to their children's future.
Well, you're simply saying, how do we alter thinking among people who are hostile toward each other in many cases and who use the children as weapons? I agree with you. But what has happened is that, take it from me, a shrink, that, yes, I can tell you what I think might be a helpful, good way to live, but whether you take it or not is the question. And you're right, but you're wrong in the sense that all you have to do is tell them. Now, if you say, well, legally they got to sign something, well, try to get that through the legislature if you can. I think that fell by the wayside with the no-fault divorce. But you're there, you're right. I wanted to hear more about your struggles as a single mom. Are you saying that your 40-year-old and your 38-year-old are doing fine because of your efforts as a single mom?
My 40-year-old is, and actually both of them, I guess the one message that I got across to them, because I worked full-time, and I'm not native to Mansfield. We were living in Chicago when we moved there from Cleveland. We lived in Lakewood. I know you know all these places. We moved from Lakewood to Greater Chicago for my ex's job, and while we're still in the hotel, we didn't take possession yet of our house. He tells me he doesn't want to be married anymore.
Whoa! Well, that's interesting. Let me jump in because I'm going to run out of time. I do thank you for the call. My wife just texted me, and regarding your having them sign something, she pointed out they signed a marriage license. Did that commit them to it? honey, I don't know if I, did I sign our marriage license? I think I did. She made me. I willingly did. Thank you for joining me, everybody. Appreciate all the calls. If you didn't get on, call me back. You'll be first up. I'm Dr. Ray. Walk with God, because I'll tell you what, you're walking through this culture and this world, you better have God beside you. For sure.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.